Testing, testing, testing. Can you hear me? This is Audible Autism.
Welcome to Audible Autism. I'm Nikki.
And I'm Angharad. And together, we run a YouTube series called Accidentally Autistic about, like, autistic coded characters in the media who are never fully stated to be autistic.
Yes. We started it because we feel like people do recognise autism, like, autistic traits.
They recognise a group of traits that go together.
Yes.
And, it, like...
They just don't know that it's autism.
Because their idea of autism is something very separate.
Yes. There's, like, the very stereotypical, like, Sheldon Cooper character that is written to be autistic, whether or not that's explicit. And then there are characters who are not written to be autistic and sometimes actively, like, the creators will deny that they're autistic, even though they have many, many, many autistic traits.
Yep.
So we've done two series of this YouTube show already. And we are in pre-production.
Kind of,
for
yes.
Season 3-ish. So we thought we would talk a little bit on the podcast today about what we were trying to do with the show and what we've covered so far and what kind of where the ideas came from and some thoughts that we have.
Yes. Yeah, generally there's a big instinct in TV writers to, I think they're very scared of offending people.
Mm-hmm.
So even like in Community, they never actually diagnosed Arbet, or they didn't for a very long
they
time.
They did in the first episode.
The first episode, and then they kind of
someone says
away.
It as an insult.
Yeah.
He's and then like, you have Asperger's as he walks out of the room, as it like the mic drop, and then it's never mentioned again.
Yeah, but that's not a diagnosis.
No, it's not a diagnosis. That's just someone being a dick.
And then later they refer to him as Arbet the undiagnosable.
Yeah. Even though it's, like, incredibly clear what the condition is.
Yeah, early season Community was great. We haven't actually talked about that on the show because that's too close to, like, the writers knowing what they're doing. But, like, in media, like, the books of The Hunger Games, Castiel on Supernatural, Leslie Knope.
Yeah, Les Mis, Inspector Javert. Who else did we do?
I chose Charlie Kelly from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
He clearly has, like, other things going on, but I think one of the main ones is autism.
Yeah. We haven't done this episode yet, but Sterling Archer from the TV show Archer is like where it really came from in the first place. Every time we hung out, we were like, here's some more evidence that Archer is autistic. And then we were like, maybe we should film this.
Also, there was the episode of Archer where that happens.
Yeah. But like...
And it's like, maybe I am autistic. Yeah. Like that
we hadn't picked up on that like the first time around. I think it was maybe on a rewatch that we were like, haha. Archer acts really autistic. Then we got to that episode and we were like, oh my god, like they mention it and they still don't know, or maybe they do know what's happening.
Yeah, what is happening inside the minds of TV writers? The big massive
yeah that
question.
Is that is the question of our age.
Yeah. Because people do know what it looks like, but they don't know that that's the word, and what they associate with the word autism is not autism. So I think most of my friends are autistic.
Oh yeah,
but I'm not gonna tell them. if they figure that out for themselves, like that's fine.
Yeah, like so we figured out we were both autistic at roughly the same time
because
I was doing a lot of therapy and a lot of soul searching, and my mum was like, I think you're autistic, and I was like, okay, and then I went off and researched it, and every time I brought it up she was like, why are you so obsessed with this? And I was like, because I'm autistic. And I talked about it a lot, and then Angharad was like, interesting.
You know what really stopped me from doing it before you did it was that in one of the books for the Princess Diaries, she does that. And she's like, what if me and all of my friends are autistic? And then she spirals into a paranoia. She's like, what if the school is secretly a school for autistic people? And they just haven't told us because they think it would crush our psyches.
Oh my god.
And then I thought that like obsessing over whether you're autistic is just like a normal teen trait to have.
Well, we definitely did it as teenagers. Me and my friend who may or may not be autistic. I remember her calling me and being like, Nikki, I think I'm autistic. And then like reeling off some symptoms and me being like, I have all of those. And us being like, okay, let's never mention this again.
But I do think that in general, people would take it as an insult if I was like, hey, you're autistic.
Yeah, and, like I started talking about it a lot just to everyone I knew, because that's how I deal with things that I'm really obsessive about, is to be like, did you know this fact? Have you read this article? So quite a lot of my friends, I was like, no offense, but I do think you have some of these traits. And I did like info dump on quite a few of them who did turn out to be autistic. But like after a few months of this, I was like, maybe this is not an appropriate way to behave. And then I started, I like pulled back a bit.
Mm.
And we have other friends where I'm like, I feel like you are autistic. And like, I could tell you that, but I'm going to let you get there yourself, but I'm going to leave some kind of breadcrumbs.
Yeah, I feel it has a parallel to me. Like I also feel instinct to ask strangers if they're gay, if I think they're gay, and I want to talk about being gay.
Yeah.
But I think that's
that is more socially appropriate,
though. Yeah, especially in the kind of slightly left leaning liberal millennial types,
yeah.
circles we wander about in. Rather than being like, hi, are you autistic? Do you want to talk about being autistic with me? I don't think would always go down well.
Yeah, definitely.
But on the other hand, for a lot of queer people, I just met them and I was like, oh, they're queer. And then I never talked about it with them. And then 2 years later, they came out to me. And I was like, but I knew. Like, it was just obvious. And I feel like that about the autistic stuff as well. I'm like, maybe they all know, maybe they don't know. It's just impossible to tell.
Yeah, but there's a lot
it's
more
just,
like...
It's just impossible to tell. It's just the autistic tagline of everything.
Every single thing in the world is impossible for me to tell. Yeah, I feel like there's a lot more to, like, unpack with noticing that someone is autistic. Because if you're like, oh, you're autistic too, like, what autism means to them.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not they have a diagnosis. Like, if they don't, then you have to do a whole thing of being like, actually, it doesn't mean those things, it means these things as well.
Well, they might have just done research. They don't have to have that diagnosis to be chill.
Yeah, they might know this about themselves. But if they did get, like, a diagnosis as a kid, they might have some slightly different...
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, very medicalized ideas of what it means. So there is, like...
Yeah, whereas, like, figuring out was, like, a semi-adult. Is like, oh, this makes total sense. This is great. Now I can go and speak to people about this and everything's, you know.
Yeah, you just like.
Explain.
Adapt.
Yeah.
Quite nicely to being like, oh, this explains everything. Excellent. Moving on. But yeah, I had someone at work a couple of months ago. We were talking about autism in the office. By we, I mean everyone else was, and I was silent.
I love those conversations.
Yeah. And then he was like, as an autistic person, I was like, I fucking knew it. But I didn't want to say that in the office because that would be rude.
Once I did that to a guy about queerdom, because I was in a play and some people said some like vaguely biphobic things. And I was like, well, actually I'm bi. And I think that's offensive. And the next day this guy came up to me and he was like, oh, he wasn't there. And I was like, oh, people have been talking about that. He had to mention it. And then he was like, oh, because I'm gay. And I was like, oh, I know. And then I was like, that sounded very blunt.
Tone.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like there's a lot going on when it comes to meeting other autistic people, identifying that, talking about it, outing yourself as autistic is a whole thing to both autistic people and non-autistic people.
This is the thing I talk about with a lot of different things, which is like you have to like to get over any kind of prejudice, you have to realize that those people are like full people and like their whole existence is not this one thing, which is why I do think that accidentally autistic is a really helpful tool, because people already know these characters as full realized beings who have interests and morals and loves and, you know, all of these things. And so adding one more thing in can't really hugely tip the balance as to how you think about that character.
Yeah.
Whereas if you start with that being the first feature, that really tips how you go on. And so that's why I think that the series was vaguely helpful. And there were a few people in the comments who were like, I have all of these traits. I've always really related to this character. And I was like, oh, wonderful. But I think that's a softer way to talk about that with someone rather than being like,
we're not necessarily saying like this character is autistic. Like what we're doing is identifying like traits that cluster together in these characters, like Leslie Knope being like overbearing and very obsessive about the things she cares about and not being very good at judging tone and not being able to tell people making fun of her, but also being like a very, very loving, like effusive, passionate person who like does all of these really cool things and has really good relationships with people once they like adjust to her ways of showing affection. And I think that's like a very positive
character. Also allows for, because most characters that are intentionally written as autistic are the very like Sheldon Cooper.
Yeah.
This is a white male who is into science.
Yeah.
And if you're not that specific group of things, then it's very hard to find any kind of
representation of.
Yeah, or just like, oh, there, that's a shape that looks similar to me.
Yeah.
I guess. Whereas being like, oh, actually, Leslie Knope, absolutely not any of, like, anything similar to that.
It's just, like, very, very broad strokes, but, like, the way that those, like, traits or patterns or whatever, like, the symptoms are, like, those show up in, like, incredibly different ways in different people, depending on, like, who you are as a person, your environment, your upbringing, all of that, and, like, that's what we're trying to pull out, is those very different ways of that showing up.
Yes. Yeah, but the writers are very, very nervous about it. They don't like diagnosing their characters.
No, they don't. I have been watching the Netflix show Tuca and Bertie recently, which is from the creators of BoJack Horseman, and I got like 5 minutes into the first episode, and I was like, oh, okay, so Tuca has ADHD and Bertie is autistic. Cool. And in episode 3 or 4, maybe, Bertie is having a really, really bad day and she's really anxious. So she goes to the shop with Tuca and she puts on her special shoes that make her feel less anxious. And Tuca is like, okay, those are weird shoes, but I'm not going to tell you that because you need my support. So I'm just going to let you wear your weird shoes. Mm-hmm. And Bertie is like, thank you for doing this for me. And then they go to the shop and then there's lots of people and she gets really, really, really overwhelmed. And she tries to distract herself by like reading facts off the back of some like packaging, and then it doesn't work and everything like gets too much and she has a complete breakdown. And in the show, she's like, I have an anxiety disorder. And there's a lot of stuff about explicitly being like, this is anxiety. And there are lots of jokes about like the way people treat people with anxiety and like, oh, you should just do yoga and stuff.
Mm.
And it's like funny. And I was watching it, and I was like, oh, this is relatable. But I was also watching it like, all of these are also autistic behaviors. Like, I'm not saying she has to be autistic, but it's interesting that the writers have been like, we can make her canonically a character with an anxiety disorder, but it either hasn't occurred to us or we don't want to discuss whether or not this is autism.
Yes. And these are older shows, but it links back to the bugbear I had that I haven't yet discussed on Accident Autistic, because it's a different concept, which is both Elementary, the American Sherlock Holmes series, and House did a bit where they were like, oh, we've realized that our main character, Sherlock / House, reads as autistic to a lot of fans. Like, Elementary in particular is an excellent Tumblr, which I think is, I forget what it's called, but if you search like autistic Elementary, you'll find it, and it just goes through every single episode. It's a beautiful website. With being like, here are all the autistic things that Sherlock did this episode. It's beautiful. Anyway, a few seasons in, they sort of realised that that's what the fans are reading into it. And so they introduced like a girlfriend for Sherlock who is canonically autistic, but is very different from Sherlock and expresses those things in different ways, as if to say to the audience, that's not autism, this is autism. And similarly, House had an episode where there was an autistic child whose parents found him very confusing and didn't know what to do. Shocking. And House was very, very good at making him feel more calm and like understand what the medical procedures were going to be and that it was safe and he was in a safe place and that like the medical procedures were meant to help him. And then kind of implied, I think, to the parents that he too was autistic. And then he has an argument with his best friend Wilson, and Wilson says, but you're not autistic because you do understand this like social mores of society, you just don't care about them, which makes you an asshole, not autistic. And I was like, Jesus Christ. Wow, okay, so autistic people are not allowed to be assholes. Yeah. Interesting, because that's my aspiration.
Lots to unpack here.
Many things to unpack.
Many things to unpack, yeah. But it is wild how I don't know, this has been on my mind because I got my little like diagnostic questionnaires through the post this week, and I had to fill in all this like nonsense from Simon Baron Cohen. From him personally to me.
I mean, it is from him personally. He keeps doing it.
Just the way that like we're still stuck on these like very outmoded assumptions about what it means. Like, would you rather go to the theatre or a museum? Like, what? What?
Do you like science or art?
Yeah. And it's like, especially theatre or museum, it's like, well, I don't know what's on. Like, yeah. That's a really bad hypothetical. Like, clearly no autistic people were consulted because I don't know how to answer that question unless I have more information.
Good God.
And just these, like...
what is on?
Yeah, I don't know. Like...
Also, I don't even
people who are like autism experts in heavy, heavy, heavy quotation marks are still like, oh, this is the best way of diagnosing someone. This is what autism means. This is what autism is, instead of paying attention to like.
I also don't understand what the fundamental difference there actually is, because it's just going to sit in a dark room and watch a story. Yeah. Like, that's the same. Like, so in the theatre, there's a break in the middle, which I do appreciate. I think the cinema used to have that, though, so it is the same. Sometimes when I'm watching a film, I, like, time it to the middle, and I'm like, well, this is where the theatre the break should have been, so I'm going to take a break now.
Or just, like, theatre versus museum. Like,
oh, was that the question?
That was the question, but that's okay. If it's a theatre show about something I'm interested in versus a museum show about something I'm not interested in, then I would rather go to the theatre. If it's a museum exhibition about, like, Taylor Swift, then I will be there every day.
Imagine. That would destroy your life.
It would destroy me if they didn't get me to write all the copy for it.
That's the only Taylor Swift published academic in the
exactly.
world. I maintain that that's still the same. That's still going to a place. If you go alone, you don't have to speak to anyone. You're not expected to speak to anyone. You silently absorb something and then you return home. It's the same.
A very similar experience. It's just that one of them is like, ooh, this involves imagination, even though it doesn't. Like, theatre doesn't involve imagination.
Is that what the reasoning is?
Well, I assume so, because they're like, oh, autistic people don't like fiction, you know.
Oh, I see. I guess.
This is a nonsense criteria. Like, we both have an English degree. That's how we met. So we think that's nonsense.
Yeah.
But I assume that's the thing behind it. They're like, oh, autistic people like facts and they don't like fiction.
I've done a history paper now and the museums are not full of facts. I've got to tell you that. Museum's got more fiction. I'd rather it just be called fiction.
Yeah.
Here's an idea.
Yeah, here is an idea, but there's still imagination involved. Like, you're still reading wall text and being like, okay, this is describing something
literally,
that I have to, like, a society.
Everything about history involves a huge amount of imagination. Otherwise, you're just like, here is a piece of pottery.
Yeah, you have to construct like a reason for the pottery's existence.
Everything has to be imagined. In some sense, being told a story is much simpler.
Yeah. I think it comes back to this, what we were talking about the other week about history, like the impulse to like categorize versus to like interpret.
Were we talking about that?
Yeah, when we were on the phone. Just very briefly. But like that as an impulse, I assume that's what they're getting at. And they're like, autistic people like to put things in boxes. So they like history, or they like museums because they like to like make a list of things and then rank them, or like,
but
you
like,
know, that kind of thing. But
I'm just going to complain a bit more.
Go for it.
Museums have already put things in boxes. That's not fun. If you gave me a task, if you like gave me all of the artifacts and were like, how would you design the museum? I'd be like, yes. I'm really involved in this task right now. If you've already done it,
yeah, that's the likelihood is that I'm going to walk around and be like, I didn't like the way they laid that out. Oh, I would have done that differently.
Every single time.
I went to the Kathy Acker exhibition the other day and I was like, oh, there's some really good pieces in here. Shame about the curation. Shame about the way it's laid out.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Like, we went off topic there, but I think we have some valuable things to say on the subject of...
Yeah, well, nobody understands what autism is except autistic people and nobody listens.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, watch our YouTube show.
Yeah. Autistic people can be assholes.
Yes, that's the takeaway from this. And Harrod wants the right to be an asshole and you should let them do it.
And, like, sometimes I know. and I just don't care. Like that is
yeah, yeah. Really, the like a lot of the questions. That's where I was going. Yeah, we got sidetracked because we both have ADHD as well. a lot of the questions in the adult Asperger assessment are like, I can recognize this social thing, or I can't recognize this social thing, and that's not the problem. Like, as a 24-year-old can recognize when someone is anxious some of the time, depending on the person.
Have you learned?
Because I spent my formative adolescent years reading magazine after magazine after magazine about like how to behave in the world and like how to read people's body language and how to be, you know, like a good friend and a good human. And I spent a lot of time training myself to react, to like interpret people and react to people in like sensible, appropriate ways. So the question is not whether I can recognize that. The question is how much effort it takes for me to recognize that, whether that's something that comes naturally, which isn't, whether that's something that I am able to do when I'm like tired or drunk or like distressed or overloaded, because then it becomes a lot harder because I have all this energy that's being shunted off elsewhere that I'm not directing towards the problem at hand. And like, that's the
so many little parallels, because this is the same thing as how trans healthcare has historically worked, is that like the way the doctors understand it is not how it's experienced, but you have to go to the doctor and then recite this fiction, being like, ever since I was a small child I felt like a little boy and I hated wearing skirts, so that they will like treat you. Half the time that's just not true, but you still know that you're trans and you need someone to acknowledge it, so you go and you do this little story play acting. And I think that there's a similar thing going on. Yeah,
there is a very like, this is the story that they want me to tell, so I will tell it so I can get like the medical piece of paper that I need to receive
it's a version of what happened.
Yeah.
But it's not the version I would choose to tell.
No. And it's not the best. It's not the only one.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just what autism is or what being trans is. It's just like one very simplistic story that is based on like a subset. Like, I don't know whether that's true for trans healthcare, but it's certainly true for autistic people.
This is the
experience of upper middle class white male children.
It's like the first group of that subsection that they came across, and they were like, oh, this is what that thing must be then. And then they made it available, and a bunch of people were like, oh, that's me. But now you've created these loops based on a kind of false assumption about the entire
population. Yeah, it is very like when I was going through the questionnaire, and there's like one that you're a parent or carer or person who's known you since you were a child has to fill in. And even my mum thought the questions were bad. I don't know why I said that, like, she don't know what I was getting at there, but like, I have done a lot of research on this, so I'm like, oh, of course, all of these questions are nonsense, and, like, this is how we play with this, and I'm very, like, attuned to language and, like, double meanings, and I found, like, some of the questions, the two
English degrees.
Yeah. Some of the questions, I literally didn't understand what they wanted because I was, like, over-reading them. But my mum is not like that, but even she was like, I don't understand what this question means, or I don't understand how I'm supposed to answer this. Like, they don't give you an age range, so it's like, did the person in question do this? And she's like, when? Like, when she was 3, she was different to when she was 12. And like, when I was 3, that was 20 years ago. So she's like, so I have to remember what she was doing 10 years ago and like 15 years ago and 20 years ago, and like coalesce all of that into one like takeaway. Like, what does that mean? And I was like, I know this is nonsense, but like, every question that we don't know the answer to, we should just put as like the autistic option, because they're all like, yes, no questions.
Yeah. Oh,
and you can tell what they want you to say in order to get a diagnosis. So I was like, just put the one they want, and then like we can have some nuance when I have my actual assessment with a human being. But the actual like piece of paper questionnaire is just like a gatekeeping way of being like, oh, you would rather go to the theatre than a museum, so you can't possibly be autistic.
I love that I ignored that question when you said it out loud and just answered a different question.
That's okay.
The yes-no stuff, it just sounds like literally a survey paid for by a lobby, because I read a thing yesterday about headlines that appeared in the US news about chlorine.
Yeah.
It was basically a study funded by chlorine, and the title was "More than half of Americans have used pools as in lieu of showers," which is obviously horrific, but it's not true, because the questions they asked were: in summer, they all began with, "In mm-hmm. summer, have you ever like got in the pool because you felt a bit sweaty? Have you ever once in your life?
Yeah,
like have you ever got in a pool without showering before?" And then they were, and then they combined all of the yeses from all of these specific questions. Have you ever once in your life, living on this planet for years and years and years, done this one thing? And then they came up with this headline. Yeah.
Yeah.
More than half Americans use pools instead of showers, which is insane. Everybody knows that's not true. the woman who wrote about this argued that it was because the chlorine lobby want people to think that the reason their eyes hurt in swimming pools is not the chlorine, it's the kind of human grossness.
Oh, God.
So they could get away with, yeah,
that's maintaining so wild.
Chlorine as a thing.
That's so weird. Yeah, it's like the inverse of that. Like, a lot of the questions are also overly specific, but in a way that doesn't make sense. Like, one of them was like, "My friends come to me with their problems because they say I'm very understanding." And I was like, that's two questions.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I'm very good at people's problems because I'm very good at kind of cutting it up.
Yeah, like people, my friends do come to me with their problems, but none of them I don't think has ever said that I'm very understanding. But they still come to me with their problems because I am quite good at being like, okay, this is what you should do. Here is a rational like response or
absolutely.
Just sitting there being like, yes. Yes, I'm sure that is annoying.
Yes.
Yes. For like 40 minutes and they wear themselves out and then they're like, okay, I'm going to go and do what you told me not to do. And I'm like, okay, I love you. But like, that's not what the questionnaire wants me to.
Yes.
There's no box for that.
Yeah. So, what does understanding mean?
What does understanding mean?
I understand everything they say to me. Is that understanding?
Yeah.
Is this an empathy question? Because it doesn't say it's an empathy question.
I think it was in the empathy quotient part. You're all missing out on a great facial expression from my hair right now. But yeah, like that still doesn't, I don't know, doesn't mean anything.
It's just so, I can't get over it. It's like, yes, they've come to me with a problem, so I accept it's a problem. Is that understanding?
Yeah. Do they mean that I understand like the specifics of the question, of the problem? Of them being like, I have like, you know, I'm in this like love triangle. There's this boy and there's this boy and there's this boy.
I logically
and I'm
understand.
Like, okay, I understand all of the players in this scenario.
Yeah.
I am so. Understanding.
Yes. Or is it like they say, I'm very anxious and I am like, yes, I accept that you're telling the truth and that you are anxious.
I believe you.
Okay.
Thinking of that gif of the guy from Parks and Rec with his daughter where he's like, I understand you and I love you. That's what I'm trying to channel when people come to me with their problems.
Yeah.
We've said many things.
Yeah. Nobody knows what autism is.
Yeah, that's the takeaway.
That's
and that takeaway. We should be allowed to be dicks if we want to be.
Yeah. And I want it credited to me. I can't credit these things to the autism. They're like, inherent. They have such interesting thoughts. It's because of the autism. No, it's my interesting thought. Karen is such a dick. No, the autism. No, Karen's being a dick. I don't like you. I think you're being a dick.
Yeah, it is very like attributing everything to that. That's the like the single story thing, like back to what we were saying at the beginning of like this character is a nuanced and like rounded individual.
Mm.
And this is just like a thread in their multifaceted existence. Mm. Whereas if you meet someone and you're like, I'm autistic, they're like, oh, okay. And then everything has that.
Yeah.
Inflection. So everything you do, they're like, oh, she said that. Like, she made that. She said that weird thing because she's autistic. And I'm like, no, I was making a very sophisticated joke, but you didn't understand it.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. No, it's just wordplay. It's not that I didn't understand you. It's just that I saw two meanings there and chose the funnier one.
Yeah.
And I'm entertained. And if you're not, it's not my problem.
Yeah. Like, I'm having a great time making jokes for just myself. And if you are choosing, honestly, if you're not on my level.
Honestly, this is why we're friends, is that we suddenly found another person who understood our jokes.
Yeah, our jokes are not like niche pop cultural references.
Oh yeah, but that's partly just because like you were so invested in some of these things that I was like, well, they must be great. I'll just adopt them as my own.
Yeah, but it's nice having a person to bounce that off.
Oh yeah.
So that we've both really like developed our sophisticated sense of humour in the last like 3 years.
Yeah.
Because we've just been doing this.
Mm. Yeah.
Just reflecting at like a higher and higher frequency.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do think that there's a, like, if we're talking about like strands and metaphors, I don't like the strand metaphor. I like the like programming system metaphor, like Mac versus PC.
Okay.
But you can make jokes on both. Can write Word documents on both.
They both fulfill the same functions, like ultimately.
Yeah.
Just in different
And if
ways.
If you sent someone a Word document, they wouldn't know if you had a Mac or a PC.
Yeah, sometimes the formatting might be different. But that's the same between PCs as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just that's just the danger of sending documents from one computer to another.
Mm.
There we go, we've cracked it. That's a good metaphor.
I don't think it's mine, but
well, I don't care. I'm gonna assert my right to be a dick. And I'm gonna say that we came up with that together. I'm claiming some credit as well.
Nice. Okay.
And we're gonna end on a high there.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Audible Autism. I have been Nikki.
I've been Ankara, and I'm really sad that I wasn't fast enough to make a, we're going to end on a high, but that's actually how you say hello, so we should end on a bye. Joke.
Okay, well, you've made it now.
Bye.
Goodbye.
If you would like to stay in touch with us, you can check out our website at www.audibleautism.com for links to things discussed in the episode and for our back archive. You can subscribe to us on most podcast distribution platforms, including iTunes. Just search for Audible Autism. This podcast is part of a larger project, the Autistic Empire, which is aiming to create an autistic community centered around our interests as autistic people. You can check us out at www.autisticempire.com. We post all of Audible Autism's episodes to our Autistic Empire channel, so you can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and we're even on Pinterest. Just search Autistic Empire to receive news and updates. We also have a forum where enrolled citizens can discuss the latest episodes and other issues of interest to autistic people, so do check that out as well. If you have any questions or would like to get in touch with us to be on a future episode of Audible Autism, you can always email us at team@audibleautism.com. Thank you for listening.